¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. Is this college football D-Day?
Yeah, I'd give it maybe 2 days. But, I brought this up over a week ago. Eduardo Rodriguez and that heart issue that caused him to have to opt out of. And then right after I saw that, there's a report that came out of Italy where they had a high percent, like 60% of the people in Italy. It was a study of 570 people, I believe, but it was a high percentage that had some level of change to their hearts who had COVID. All I could think of was, well, that's a major, major. I mean, that's a major, major thing. If you start talking about, you know, we've all been geared to respirators and hospital stays and all that, but once we saw an athlete, a younger athlete, a guy in his 20s, shut it down because he had a heart condition, that to me was a big, big concern. And then you had the MAC shutdown, and you have so many dominoes falling now. I don't see any possible way fall football happens for college football. Now, I do think pro football will happen. I do think, and it's the same heart concern or in questions, I guess, but I just think pro football is going to happen because they have more, I think they have a greater ability to test, to protect, to clean, all that stuff that some schools just don't have. And they're professionals.
I mean, some schools. Big Ten, right, which is the one that's going to probably lead the way, has got all of the they've got everything they could possibly need. They've got all the money they could possibly need. They could get it done. Here's two things. I think the presidents are probably worried about something. Look at how can we, you know, possibly the afterburn that we're going to feel when, if somebody gets, God forbid, if one of our athletes dies, God forbid, then it's all about greed. You guys, and then the liability, responsibility, all of that stuff that would go along with it. Not only that, but how you would feel. Listen, we tried to play football instead of worrying about the well-being of these kids and their kids, and it's our job to protect them. That I see. And it may be, too, what we haven't seen yet is we've seen a lot of conferences that have all been together. There might be a rogue Indiana, Illinois, Rutgers, whatever, saying, we ain't doing it. You guys can have conference play, but we ain't playing. You know, we haven't seen that yet. We've seen Connecticut drop it. We've seen conferences drop it. But we haven't seen, like, one ACC school or you know, Wake Forest, somebody saying, we ain't playing. You guys can play, but we ain't playing.
All it takes is a group of players to rise up and say, we're all opting out, and that'll
or to one president saying, you guys can do this, but we're not.
Right.
That allegedly happened with Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois, I think their president has a background in medicine, and she pushed for the season to get canceled. And as opposed to the MAC going on without a school, they decided to flow her way. So I saw a tweet about that. So
yeah, but at least the conference all went together.
But apparently it wasn't this, oh, we're all going to do this, until she pushed and said, hey, if you don't do it, then we're not playing.
Everyone's waiting for the first domino. As soon as one Power 5 says no, they're all out, and that's it.
This came from a tweet from apparently Alabama sports director of sports science. He said, one thing that really irritates me about COVID paranoia is the apparent thought that we know nothing about how the body responds to viruses. We do, and there's a lot of people much smarter than me working in this area. Now, all of a sudden, myocarditis is an unknown possibility. I alluded to it in a paper I published in 2009 about sudden cardiac death among athletes. It happens after most infections. We watch for warning signs all the time. Screening now is very good. Nothing new here. So he doesn't buy into the, oh, this is new information. Anybody, I guess if you ask a doctor about this, they would have been able to tell you about this long before. So I guess he's saying, why are you acting brand new? about myocarditis.
But does that happen after?
He said
after which disease?
He says viruses in general. He didn't say. He says we always.
So you have
do.
An inflammation of the heart after viruses?
He says it happens. It's not a new. It's not new to COVID. It's a virus thing. According to this doctor.
Well, hey, you know, and maybe he's right, and maybe he's right. I just know this. Everything is amplified and magnified with COVID. So even if it is something that happens and maybe it's being blown out of proportion, if that were the case, it's going to be blown out of proportion. Like, let's say it is. I don't know the science behind it. I know the report came out, and I saw different newspapers starting to really push it hard. If it is something that's dangerous, then that's a concern. If it is something that happens more than we knew, and that's something that is kind of known in medicine, it really won't matter because the amount of publicity it's going to get will be utilized and it will be shut down. Either way, I mean, I think there's almost no chance that by Friday college football is still on for the fall. But now hopefully they don't shut it. I don't even think they can shut it down for the season. Like, I think they have to keep spring open. They have to keep the potential for spring open.
So are they going to practice? So they're not going to play? Are they going to continue to practice together?
Miami had their first shoulder pad practice yesterday.
Well, but will they continue if they cancel the season? Well, see, that's the thought, is that they're going to continue to keep practicing.
I've heard.
What the hell?
So I talked to somebody yesterday.
Then play.
I talked to somebody yesterday who was in contact with agents, and he told me that you will see a mass exodus if they go the spring of guys, including seniors, who are just going to spend this time. They're going to quit school, and they're just going to go prepare for the draft.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
that's
No, I don't know. I don't. A Power Five spring season. I don't know. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. Maybe
if they don't,
is.
I mean, they're going to go empty.
Yeah. Well, the biggest issue is there's no leadership. We can obviously, Mark Emmert doesn't control college football. We all know that. Not that he would be great at it anyway. But it was all hope and a prayer. We're going to hope something happens. We're going to hope things get better. There was no actual plan because Mario Alvarez came out, who was the AD at Wisconsin, and said they pushed practice to Monday because where our other Big Ten schools are starting on Friday because we weren't sure about all the protocols. How long have you had? And you still don't understand.
What are you doing?
You understand the protocol, so you push practice on Monday to figure things out. And also the Big Ten has decided, hey, guys, don't go to padded practices. Just keep your helmets on and shell. So, we have some concerns, but still go out there and practice. But just make sure you don't hit, but you still be around each other, still do all the things that football players do, but just don't put pads on because we're still in this mode where we're not sure. It's a clear absence of leadership from the top down, and they still don't have a plan. And the best thing about the Big Ten is, look, we're all about the safety of our athletes, but we really like everyone to join us before we make a decision that puts us out and exposed in the open.
Right.
We're about safety, but please join us so we don't look bad doing it.
Well, and listen, what would be – nice job there,
Del. What the hell did you just do, Del?
Why did you just do that?
So, yeah, one thing I read is that no one wants to be first and no one wants to be last.
And how about the waiver thing? We'll do a season. If the players will sign a waiver that we're not responsible for their health, for their long term health. If you have to do a waiver, then you're just the real reason. I bet a lot of this is we don't want the liability. We do not want the liability.
Well, how is that going to change ever? As long as COVID is here now, how is this ever going to change?
But honestly. Are they not? We've been saying this for how long? They're better off in a football program. J.J. Watt talked about it this weekend, how awesome it is in a controlled environment where everybody stays apart, where everybody's wearing masks, where they're doing Zoom meetings, where they're being as cautious as possible. You let these 18 to 22-year-olds go back home, and guess what's going to happen? God forbid they're hanging out in Washington, D.C. with Frankie. Who knows what the hell could happen?
You have to let them go back home. You can't keep them.
No kidding. Well, but guess what? Are they safer there? Or are they safer with all of the tests and the protocol that you'd have in a college football team?
Well, but it's that's nice in theory, but this isn't the pros.
No, but college, the pros. They've got a lot of money and they're doing a lot.
Zach Plesac just got kicked out of professional baseball for the year. Got kicked out of the Indians. They sent him home because he broke the quarantine. I mean, he broke the rules set forth by the Indians.
Okay, Lance, what does that have to do? They won't have any rules if they're back at home. None. Zero rules.
They don't have rules. You can't.
They do have rules. I've talked to Dana about the rules.
These are players.
I know they're players. And he says, guess what? They've got a lot of rules that they've got to follow.
Why would a 19-year-old...
And they have zero rules at home. Zero.
I get all that, but why do you trust that 18, 19, 20-year-olds are going to follow the rules?
Well...
I don't trust it at all.
I know you can set the rules out. But again, they have no rules at home. So they'll do whatever at home. They're actually a lot safer where they're actually in a controlled environment with supervision. There, they will have none.
I agree. But it's irrelevant because as long as you're going to be – if players can't be trusted to maintain a bubble-like facade at least – In college, if they can't be trusted not to go out, not to do, I mean, we don't see in there is no signs that people that age are going to take this serious en masse, and enough mass quantity that it would keep people safe in college football. I mean, you know, 80 people on a roster times, and then you look at the people who, you know, we even saw the St. Louis Cardinals members of their traveling squad that weren't even players. You know, we're tested positive. It's crazy. I've got friends in Belize who test positive, and they don't even, they're around nobody. That place, that island hadn't had a positive test since March. So I just think it spreads so easy. People are not going to just follow the rules. And even if you go to the grocery store, you know, something could happen. Even if you're not really breaking it. I don't think college football is going to feel safe enough that they have this done. And, you know, Mike, here's my question. If this is going to be around COVID, you know, we'll have vaccines and all that. Are they still going to, it's still a concern, right? If you get it, is this going to be a concern every single year for college football where we have to start having discussions about what if somebody gets COVID? What if somebody didn't, you know, what if they're getting vaccines? Do you have to force players to take vaccines?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Is it mandatory to play college sports?
It might be.
It's going to have to be.
Yeah, it's going to have to be. Right. Yeah. And? So, I mean, we you know what? We have to take a polio shot when we're young. Everyone has to do it. It's because they had a pandemic at one time. And now it's over.
Every player gets a physical before the season starts. That'll be part of the physical if it happens to be that way. The one thing I don't get is because at least when a lot of college football writers are saying, where's this narrative that they're going to send people home? Because apparently Notre Dame's having in-person teaching and other campuses are having to. In fact, the MAC is doing it, which made me think, wait a minute. So it's not safe to play ball. Fine. If you don't want to have fall sports because of safety concerns, I'm with it. Okay. But why would you allow the general population to roam freely on campus? Because you know those same student athletes you're protecting are still going to be amongst the general population. Now you may say, well, football, it's easier to transmit. We have all these things in place in classrooms. But unless they're going to push partying, drinking, and sex to the spring, how do you protect the general
population?
That's
what I'm saying.
So why are you having them on campus at all? Why are you having anybody on campus? If football is unsafe, you don't think the party is going to be safe? We talked about it last week.
Well, you know, one of the reasons is because they want to justify the amount of money they're going
to
charge.
Yeah, well, they don't want to admit that, but they also have the on-campus housing that they have to collect those checks for, too. You can't collect those checks if everyone's at home. We had, back to both your points, really, you had the Louisville team, a couple Louisville soccer players threw a party. A lot of athletes from the athletic programs around campus went to that party. Mm-hmm. You had a viral spread. And you know what Louisville said? Okay, you guys are gone. We're kicking you off the team. So you have the case of guys ignoring rules they already set in place and then the repercussions for those rules. So I would hope the rest of the Louisville athletic program realizes you do something stupid like that again, you may lose a scholarship. So I don't know if you can put that in place for everyone, but that's a rule. Don't do something dumb or you're no longer part of our program.
It's a good rule. It's a good rule. All right, 713-780. Listen, we're on the verge, probably on the verge, and I don't know. I'm torn. You certainly don't want to risk these kids, and you don't want to risk long term health problems with their lungs, with their heart. But I do think that they're in a safer place. If you want to know the truth, I think they're in a much safer place if they have the supervision and protocol with which to follow. We'll see. We'll see what they come up with. 713-780-3776. If you have thoughts on that, we also got Colin Morikawa. We've got Astros just knocking the snot out of the ball, just hitting it all over the yard. just doing a great job this weekend. We got Rockets basketball. We got a lot to talk about. Don't you go anywhere.
Hey, but, you know, one of the things that my kids asked me yesterday about, they wanted to go sit out on a patio and watch. They wanted to watch the Rocket game last night on the patio. And I was like, yeah, I don't care if you guys go out there. I just got done cleaning the patio up and the patio furniture. But the thing is, that wasn't an option for us just, you know, 3-4 years ago. Whenever I made the decision that I wanted to turn my house into a home, I searched out a place where I could go that would have, you know, a really good patio. And I asked on Twitter, and people came back with ideas, and they have try this place. Nothing hit me quite like Texas Custom Patios. When I saw their work, the same thing. You'll see the same thing. You can go to the website, and you'll be blown away. But it truly has transformed our house into a home, and it's amazing to have an outdoor space that is going to, well, that's not what I was hoping for, this music to, there we go, thanks, computer. But, well, that's what it sounded like on the patio. As a matter of fact, I have sound system that is included in there, a television. The whole thing is decked out, but a lot of people go even further with outdoor kitchens put inside their patio or outdoor kitchens built, whether it's a standalone patio or whether it's something that's built onto an existing home, you are going to have it matched perfectly, and it is going to go dollar for dollar value when it's time to sell that home. Go to TexasCustomPatios.com and see what they can do for your home, TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I heard that, Liriano was upset because he had been hit a couple times in the series. But the last time I thought he got hit by a changeup or a breaking ball or something. And, he got hit by two guys that don't have any time in the big leagues, and that was only the second or third appearance, I think, by the young player. I mean, certainly not, you know, he wasn't trying to hit him, and that I don't know what happened between them, to tell you the truth. I just saw guys chirping at each other, and then next thing I know, the bench is cleared, and I guess that's what happened.
That's Dusty Baker talking about how everything jumped off between Laureano and Alex Cintron.
Alex Cintron did not keep that same energy.
No.
He did not keep.
Come on. Bring it on. Let's go. And they're like, whoa. He's running after me.
Alex Cintron needs to be suspended.
Yeah. No, he instigated.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, he instigated it.
But Laureano's going to catch it.
Yeah.
But Cintron needs to catch it as well. Garneau, pretty decent tackle.
Not bad. Went a little high, but I mean, got him down.
Yeah,
got him down.
Yeah, you don't tackle around the shoulder pads. You need to stay low, base low. Yeah. Your face needs to stay in about his about chest high, and you need to wrap up.
Yeah.
Now he went a little high, like a
he wrapped and rolled.
Yeah.
But he was like, you got to bend. In or lower. You know, they've changed the whole face mask into the sternum idea tackling. That's all been. That's out. That's a bad thing now.
Is it?
Yep. It's all about rugby tackling is the big, it's tougher, it's harder, but you hit on the outside hip, not the hip, the play side hip, because you can hurt your neck. You hit on the outside hip, and you wrap and you roll, gator roll. And that's a rugby tackle, and that's being taught en masse in everything that Seattle does. The Seahawks, but more and more teams are teaching that one too. That's into youth football. Youth football is being taught that one too, but to do that, to grab around the legs and to stick your helmet on the outside hip, you got to get low.
Mm-hmm.
Garneau didn't do it, but he did get him down.
He got
him
down.
The main thing.
That's all. That's all.
Laureano went down kind of easy, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I mean, for being tackled that high, I thought he might. I mean, he went right to the ground.
He's a pain in the ass, Laureano. He's another dude that you just don't want to see at the plate. In a game situation,
I don't want to see anyone at the plate in a game situation against this bullpen, if I'm being completely
no,
honest
this
with
bullpen
you.
Sucks. It's terrible. I mean, Christian Javier was the Cy Young leader going into the game. And you know what? He turned into Christian Javier, a rookie making his major league debut. It's in his major league debut season. He's going to get lit up. And he got lit up. And you know, this team is just here's the thing is we talked about it. You got to win. You brought it up first. They got to win 8-7 games, you know, with this pitching staff. And especially with Verlander down. Now, you go, okay, 9-6, 8-7. You know what the scores are? 8-2. 7-1, 7-2. Astros, what the? Start hitting. What is wrong with you?
God, man. It's, I mean.
Forget the pitching.
It's Altuve. It's Bregman.
Wait
it's
a minute.
Georgie.
They went in extra innings against the A's 1-1.
Uh-huh.
I mean, come on. They were 13th
inning.
Brinkley
did everything he could.
The whole staff did everything. It's saying, this is not on the staff. It's on the hitting. They suck. What is the deal? Listen, well, Altuve is pressing. Altuve is pressing so hard because he wants to prove to everybody.
Yeah, 100%. He just doesn't want – that's 100% of what it is. He's like, I didn't cheat. I got to show him. And now he is so tight up there. I mean, his plate discipline's never been great, but this is just awful right now. And he's just not taking the – he's not going with the pitch. He's just – this doesn't look like the Jose Altuve at all that we've seen. His approach is just a mess right now.
Yeah, that it's just he.
And the simulated season had him hitting much better than this, which is a surprise. Right. Although it did have Astros hitting great and the pitching not being great.
Oh, and Correa went 0 for 4 and he's still hitting .345.
Yeah,
by the way.
Rest of the simulated season has been dead on with the Astros. I like this new playoff setup, I guess, because, you know, they're 6-9 now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's early. It's still early.
Yeah,
I know.
That's unfortunate.
But here's the deal. Start flipping hitting. Goodness gracious, what is wrong with you guys? You hit on the road, you hit at home. Shut up. Everybody shut up.
They can think what they want because right now they're all thinking that they're right anyway.
No, they're not. They're not right. This team has gone through slumps before. Unfortunately, they're going through a slump, a 10-game stretch right here in a 60-game season. That's a bad thing. In a 60-game season. If this was 162 games, we'd go, all right, well, they'll get out of it. Now, I'm the first one to freak the flip out, but this team will be fine. They're too good at hitting. Get Springer back. Get Yordan, who, by the way, was raking at Corpus Christi.
Yeah, they said there's no timetable for his return, but that, you know, he's coming along nicely. You know who isn't coming along nicely? Big shocker here, Justin Verlander. Yesterday, Dusty Baker said he's just not progressing as quickly as he'd like. Two people acknowledged the situation told the Chronicle Verlander will not pitch again this season with an elbow injury. On July 26, Verlander called the report not accurate. Chandler Rome, by the way, is writing this. On July 26, Verlander called the report not accurate. As he drinks his tea, as he's got Kermit with the tea.
Kermit with the tea.
But has not spoken about his prognosis on injury since then. Quote, Verlander, to my knowledge, is not – this is the best. Chandler Rome is writing this.
Boys.
And you can just see Kermit drinking his tea right now. With two people with knowledge told the Chronicle he wasn't going to pitch again. But Verlander recalled the report, quote, unquote, not accurate, but has not spoken about his prognosis or injury since then. So, I don't know. Anyway, Verlander, to my knowledge, is not progressing as quick. Anywho. Verlander, to my knowledge,
did he write anywho,
is not progressing as quickly as he'd like to, but does he ever? Verlander wanted a pitch yesterday. Since the Chronicle's initial report on July 26, Baker and general manager James Click have said Verlander will shut down from throwing for a few weeks, quote unquote, before being evaluated. So Baker spoken numerous times during this road trip about reinforcements arriving to help the Astros. Let me see if he has anything else that he says in here about Verlander. The team has termed Verlander's injury as a quote unquote right forearm strain. In an interview with USA Today last week, owner Jim Crane acknowledged Verlander's injury was elbow related.
and hinted that Tommy John surgery is possible for the 37-year-old. I mean, this is his...
Chandler. Well, you know Chandler was sitting there in the corner after the... Oh, no, he's like, two weeks. What the... Now he's like,
this is his pièce de résistance.
Well, someone told you differently.
Oh, but in the USA Today,
Bob Nightingale had
Jim Crane acknowledged the elbow injury and said Tommy John is possible.
We gotta get Chandler tied to some.
Yeah, I think he's 790.
Is he tied to some?
He's hopeful. We'll see. Chandler's just so caffeinated from all the tea he's drinking. Just, What's this?
Say you. Good day, sir.
Good day, sir.
Justin Verlander will not respond to requests about his elbow. Good day, sir.
Verlander has been unresponsive since the July 26th report by yours truly. As I put forth that he would be out after talking to two different sources who said that a Tommy John surgery was very likely, and yet he came out and disputed this. And yet, after James Click and Dusty Baker said, well, he'll be shut down for a couple of weeks, Jim Crane said, oh, an elbow injury is the injury, and Tommy John surgery is possible. Good day, sir.
Chandler Rome wins. Justin's not coming back. And he wouldn't have had that. He wouldn't have said that if that wasn't accurate anyway.
There's a jab. You just threw a jab.
Boom! Sitejab.com. A buddy of mine used them. I think it was before I started speaking for them. He had a website that for his business that he knew really wasn't great. And that's because he was in part responsible for some of the design. And it was probably, I guess, like 8 years old, if I remember correctly. Yeah, it was about 2010. And Sitejab came in, and what they did was give them a complete remodel. Basically, it was a complete redo, if you want to be honest with, if you want me to be honest with you. And that's one of the things they can do. They can build you one from scratch. It takes 3 to 6 weeks. Or they can customize it based on your specs. They can remodel whatever you've got. There's just a lot that Sitejab can do that can help take the eyes that are visiting your website and transfer them into actual leads that can turn into business. If you're a small to medium-sized business, what your website looks like and how easy it is to navigate and flow through it is going to say a lot about you as a company subconsciously, and it's going to really determine whether or not that is going to turn into an actual potential business lead for you. Make sure that you are ready to roll with a company who's been doing this for 2 decades right here in Houston, and they can do the same thing for you. Web design is just one of the many things that they do. Go to the website to find out all of their services, including e-commerce, at sitejab.com, S-I-T-E-Jab.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We've been to that studio downtown, the radio station. The ESPN Chicago is downtown. It's near Miracle Mile.
You've been there?
Oh, yeah. Chicago, you haven't done a show from there with us? No? Uh-uh. Oh, we've done shows from there.
I almost did a show from there, and I ended up taking a vacation day, but I almost did a show from there. Yeah,
I've done it for Bears Sunday night game. Texans Bears Sunday night game.
No, I have been down there like in the mid-2000s.
It's right under the L. It's under the L tracks. It looks like it's a great place to be this morning.
Chicago had 5 hours of looting and unrest, and police and people in Chicago were in shootout at one point. is really bad in Chicago yesterday. It was overnight from like 12:45, I think, until about 4:45 in the morning. But that was bad. Portland was really bad yesterday again. They set a police station on, got inside, and I think they're trying to set it on fire again for the second night. But
yeah, it was a bad place to be last night. That's for or in this morning, and now they've shut down all of downtown. And I wonder what that traffic is like. As if it's not, it's
already pretty
one
bad.
Of the worst. It's the one of the worst in the country to get downtown Chicago during a weekday morning.
Yeah,
it's got to be unbelievably horrific right now. Since they just can't come here. Just turn around, go back home. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's got to be just a thrill. So well, there's that going on. And in the meantime, Austin Rivers said, "Oh yeah, Lance." Trash, is that what you call me? Okay, how's this?
I hadn't said that for a long time.
Oh.
I've apologized to all Austin Rivers already.
He's
like, I apologized last year. I thought he was, he did. No one liked, everyone thought he was playing because Doc Rivers was his dad and all this stuff. Dude, Austin Rivers was way better last year than I expected. And this year, I think he's legit. I think he is a legit quality backup guard now. He plays much faster than he used to play. He plays twitchier than he used to play. He plays with more confidence than he used to play. He's just turned into a pretty good. Mm-hmm. He's just actually turned into a pretty good basketball player. He had 40 career high yesterday, I would imagine. 2 years ago, if you had told somebody Austin Rivers, will he hit 40 in a game? You'd be like, what? Austin Rivers won't be playing basketball in 2020. That unless he's playing for his dad. That's what somebody would have told you. 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And yet here we are. He mm-hmm. hit 40, and he is a valuable part of the Rockets right now. He really is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, they kicked Sacramento's ass.
They look bad for the whole first quarter, most of the second. Then they had a run at the end of the second quarter. They took over.
And third quarter was just.
Took the lead, and then the beating was on in the second half. And
32-15. That was just that was an ass whooping.
Now Russell Westbrook did not play. They're still sitting him out with an injury, but he may be back on Tuesday. Tuesday's their next game. There is no word. They're hoping that Eric Gordon can make it back as well, but I'm not really that hopeful for Eric. I think you just have to you want to get Eric back to let him get some time on his legs, but I don't think you need him right now. I don't think they're really going to risk it.
No, you don't need him right now.
I really don't. And the Spurs are up next. Spurs are just, Spurs are really a nothing team right now. They're out of it, so I don't think you have to worry about too much going on right now. Over the weekend, did you see what Luka did? Did you see Luka?
Spurs aren't out of it. They're only a game out of eighth.
Hold on a second. I thought Portland clinched yesterday.
No,
I read Portland clinched. You sure?
Clinched? No.
Hold on. Where's Portland right now?
Portland's only a half a game behind. They're only half a game behind Portland, the Spurs are. And there's still three games left.
Hold on a second.
So, no. They didn't clinch. And a matter of fact, the Grizz are probably gripping right now. They're in the eighth seed. At 19 behind, Portland's a half game behind them at 19.5, and the Spurs are at 20, just a game behind them. The Suns are 20.5. They're still in it.
Well, the Pelicans have been a disaster since they've come back. And, boy, Zion's really starting to take some heat. New Orleans taking heat for how they've handled him, not letting him play. But then I think there's a real concern that he's just too big. He's just too big, and he's going to have to lose weight. Jay Williams talked about it. He's like, dude, until this becomes a lifestyle for you and this is who you're going to be and who you are and you lean down some so that you take pressure off your ankles and knees and feet and your joints, so it's going to potentially be a problem for him moving forward. So I think it's going to be pretty interesting to see how they handle him.
Gee, who would have thought a guy 6'6 shouldn't weigh 295 pounds to play basketball? When Zion came out, he's a remarkable athlete. That's just how he's built. He's a basketball player. he shouldn't be that heavy.
Who went to New Orleans, you know there's going to be problems there.
He's heavier than, I think only Boban is heavier than him, and Boban's like seven foot something.
He's way, you know, Shaq's all Shaq's issues. When he got overweight, when Shaq started getting too big is when he started to miss a ton of time. If you look at Shaq's all-time games played numbers, it is really disappointing. Like, the amount of time Shaq missed is way higher than people would think. It's way higher because he was just too heavy. Yao Ming, concern was always about Yao getting too heavy on his frame because he had high arches. But, yeah, Zion's just too big.
He is.
And everyone's, oh, he's big boned. Yeah, he is big boned, but he probably needs to be about 265, 270. And that's that. I mean, there's a good size for him, and he is going to be bigger. You know, you want to see his body fat percentage and stuff like that. I mean, they need to, you know, bod pot him and find out what his number needs to be. But he's going to have to get down. They can't have him playing limited minutes. And Morant looks like, I mean, Ja just looks like he's just going to lap Zion if Zion doesn't do something about this by next year. So we'll see. But Luka had a – Dale, I know you paid attention. Yeah. Luka had a monster game against Giannis. And the Lakers and the Bucks right now look wildly unimpressive.
Yeah.
Wildly. LeBron came back, and they still didn't look good the other day. Giannis and the Bucks can't get things figured out. Teams don't seem to be intimidated by them at all right now. The bubble's getting kind of interesting. It's getting a little bit interesting.
Well, it looks like the Mavs, Doncic isn't playing his next game, or Porzingis. They got a game coming up here, and they're pretty much locked in. They're two behind the Jazz. I guess they could catch the Jazz, but they're saying, oh, well, we're going to take our spot in this as the seventh seed. And take on the Clippers in the first round. Right now, the Rockets are going to take on Oklahoma City. You like that? What are you going to do? It's going to be Oklahoma City and the Lakers.
Chris Paul versus James Harden.
Wow.
Russell Westbrook versus Oklahoma City.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of storylines there, that's for sure. But Oklahoma City's a little scary.
Yeah, they're playing pretty well, too. They are a little scary, but, you know, so is who you're going to play in the second round, too, if you win. So you might as well, you know, take on all comers, see how you're going to play it. I mean, honestly, the Rockets didn't play great yesterday for the first half of the game. But other than that, you know, they had their ups. They weren't good defensively against Dallas, but I wouldn't say they played poorly. They played really well offensively. You look at all the games played, they stunk against Portland. And yet they were still in that game until late in the game. They still had a shot against Portland. So right now I'd say the Rockets are, you know, of all the teams in the Western Conference, they're playing better than the Lakers. They, you know, I think the Clippers, I really do think the Clippers are going to be the team to beat. But you know, the Rockets are showing that they definitely have a shot. If Ben McLemore keeps playing like he's been playing, and if Eric Gordon comes back at all with an ability to, you know, If he shows an ability at all to hit the three, this is going to be interesting for the Rockets. The small ball, because I don't think the Lakers are going to impose their size, I don't believe. The big concern is going to be defensively when you run into a team that can really defend. I mean, that's going to be the big concern. But, Oklahoma City, they're playing good team basketball, and I think they're a team that some teams would rather not have to see. But, you know, you see who you see, you beat who you beat, you face who you face. I'm not a big proponent about worrying about getting all cute when you're right when there's no home court advantage. It's even, you know, available anymore. When home court advantage is there, that's great. If not, you might as well just get yourself to be as ready as you possibly can be against whoever you face.
Yeah,
because to be the best, you got to beat the best anyway.
But they can beat the. Look at Danilo Gallinari. Who did I want though that offseason? Danilo, why, he was a free agent. You go get him. I mean, 41% he's shooting from three.
Way to go, Danilo.
What?
Well, he wanted Danilo.
I don't make trades for the Rockets.
Yeah, and what did you do? Nothing.
What was I supposed to
do? How about making a request? How about sending a DM to Daryl Morey?
Is that how you and tagged DM Daryl Morey?
At the time, a sometimes host producer for a local radio station makes a request and it gets it gets to Daryl Morey's desk and he listens? Is that how it works?
I mean, he seems like he would be a Morey guy, too.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he would be.
Yeah.
He's an international player, a stretch four. Like, isn't that kind of Daryl's thing?
He'd be perfect.
Excuse me.
Yes?
They're accumulating draft picks. And, just accumulating draft picks in OKC. Exactly what were the Rockets going to be able to give up to get Danilo, considering they already gave up picks to get rid of Chris Paul? What are they going to give up to get Danilo?
You can have Austin Rivers, Daniel House, whatever.
So he's a really good player, but you're willing to give him, what, your sixth, seventh man for a starting stretch four? Is that what, that's the deal you're looking for?
Yeah.
Okay. Seems like something Sam Presti would do.
No. He re-signed with OKC. He was a free agent.
Oh, when? This past offseason?
Yeah, yeah.
But what money were the Rockets going to use?
They were going to use their big money.
What money?
He didn't really want that much money to come here.
Oh, how much money did he take from OKC?
Money doesn't matter to him. Okay?
Do you know what a deal is? Have money you seen the deal? Thing.
Listen, he wanted to be here badly. Daryl screwed the pooch on this one.
He's an unrestricted free agent this offseason.
See? There you go.
So he wasn't. He signed a deal with the Clippers in 17. But the
Rockets, it was 2 years ago that I was telling you I wanted him. He was a free agent just a couple of years ago.
But how much money were they willing to give to Danilo? 20 plus million?
Whatever.
What? Oh, it's just whatever.
Yeah, it's whatever. You know what they want? They wanted to give him Ryan, what's his name?
Ryan Anderson.
Ryan Anderson.
So who was the Rockets had their stretch four paying $20 million
a
year.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did. They already had a stretch four they were paying $20 million
a year. Daryl needs to be fired immediately. Okay.
They had already.
If Ryan Anderson is your choice over Danilo Gallinari, then you can't be a general manager anymore.
They had already paid a stretch four previously $20-plus million, so they didn't need another one.
Well, you know what? Bring him in this year now. Bring him in this year.
With what money?
You get rid of...
Who? Russ?
Nah, well,
who are you getting rid of?
You can't get rid of Russ. Guess what? You got to take money on to get rid of Russ.
Yes. Who are you getting rid of to bring in a valuable stretch four?
I don't know. Again, I think he'll probably take the league minimum or.
That seems likely.
Right. He might. I think he wants to be. I think he wants to play mid level.
He wants to play on Granado's favorite
team. He wants a mid level exception.
He really wants to play for a team you love, so he's going to take less.
744. That's right. He's a Danilo Gallinari, one of my peeps. Let's go.
Oh, okay. I'm sure there's an Italian someplace else who's a fan of a team who has money to spend.
744 ESPN, 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN, 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh. 747 ESPN 97.5. What about Colin Morikawa? What did you think of Colin Morikawa? What did you think of Colin Morikawa's shot? Oh, no, he tied for second. That tying for second, we had a buddy who's in Calcutta. You know where you buy people, Del? You auction off people and you buy them. Well, it's golfers. You can do that. Okay?
You just mentioned Morikawa or whatever you said.
It's golfers.
How does that work?
Most of them are white guys.
Okay? So you still shouldn't buy
people.
There is white slave freight, too.
Is there?
Yes, when you pick up. Let's just say a girl of like 16 from Kansas, and then you.
Oh well,
yeah,
yeah, but you don't pick up a Joel Damon or a Cameron Champ or a Patrick Reed. You don't buy those people.
Well, you are.
Yeah, we buy them, but you know what? Then they go home. Here's the deal: Colin Morikawa hit a shot that is one of the best, most clutch shots in a major. On the last three holes, on 16, you can drive the green. And a lot of guys, Tony Finau messed it up. He went right, and then he was short side, and he only parred the hole. Colin Morikawa hit a driver. I think the hole was 292 yards. He hit the driver to within about 12 feet. and made the putt for eagle, and then went on to win. That put him. There was a.
That's the second tournament he's won this year, right?
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he must be. Really, he's good. Only 23.
Yeah, 23 years old. Makes him the third youngest. Third youngest to win a PGA championship.
He's new Tiger.
He's got a possibility to be. He's really, really good. But he has won. He's a really good player. And he played at Cal, which is about 20 miles from this place. So he's played there a bunch. He was a good
basically guy. A home course for him.
It was. And, you know, the Northern California guys, they did. They stepped up. And because they knew the course, and man, you talk about a beautiful course, but what a shot. I've never seen a tournament with seven guys on the back nine tied for the lead. I've never seen a major ever. I don't know that's ever happened.
What did you enjoy watching over the last 3 days more, Astros, A's, or the PGA?
B.
Yeah. I thought that might be the answer.
B.
The bats or all of the 40-foot putts that were made. Yesterday, a 95-footer. There was more long putts made in this tournament than like ever before, supposedly. It was insane, the opening round. And it was Bryson DeChambeau had a 95-footer yesterday. He knocked one home, too.
Yeah.
Although the scoring wasn't insane.
No. No. I mean, it was 13-1.
Yeah. I mean, it's a low score, but it's not crazy.
No. This was a tough course. This was tough. I mean, with the weather conditions, with the cold, there was wind. The greens weren't what they usually are, like lightning fast. So it took a little adjusting by the guys. And as the day got old, moved on, the greens, they grew and the putts were a bit slower. It was a great test. So a lot of fun. Good stuff. I thought it was a great tournament, and we have ourselves our first major winner. Colin Morikawa is going to be around for a while, and he's going to be really, really good. He's just got a beautiful swing, and it doesn't seem to faze him. He's going to come down to, you know, the final holes, and he doesn't seem to be flustered at all. So congratulations to that young man. Awesome stuff. And here we go. We got our first major of the season in. And I don't know about you. I know you were glued to it. Del, how much did you watch every? I'm sure you watched every shot.
Every shot, not a shot. Same thing, right?
Every shot or not a shot?
Aren't those the same in your? Because I would venture to guess not a shot is the more likely scenario. So, yeah, didn't watch a shot.
Not a shot.
No, I'm not interested. It's okay. We don't all have to be interested in the same thing. Like, you don't like my cartoon movies. I don't like your cartoon sport. That's fine.
It's not a cartoon sport. It's real. It's real.
Kind of. I mean, if Bugs Bunny can be great at it, it's kind of a cartoon sport. I saw that bit that he did.
Bugs Bunny is not great at golf, all right?
I don't know if you've seen him play golf. He's pretty good.
He can go in circles, and then he swings, and he gets twisted around like a tether ball.
This is, oh, my gosh. This is terrible. Here's the headline. Morikawa wins PGA, embraces girlfriend awkwardly. Did you, after the round, he went to hug her and she just kind of went, and then he tried to high five her. And it was like Tiger after the ball rolled in, the Nike ball rolled in. He and Stevie were trying to high five, and then they were going to fist dap, and they were going to, and they couldn't get it right. That was that. But that's not the headline. The headline is not he wins PGA and embraces girlfriend awkwardly.
I'm surprised.
Leads, whatever the most. Here it is.
How did you not?
Not gonna see it.
How did you not alert us to what his girlfriend looks like?
But yeah,
how did you not?
Yeah, they've got it.
Well, he doesn't have.
I think they have.
He can't hear
right
me
here.
Talking.
They talk about the awkward moment, awkward missed.
Catherine Zhu is her name.
How did you not alert us to what she looks like?
Because she's wearing a mask, and she's wearing a jacket.
Yeah, but you don't know previously what you look
no,
like?
No, I haven't seen her.
What? Might want to look her up.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is she an Instagram model?
She could be.
No, she's a golfer.
She's a golfer. Yes, but she could be. Yeah, exactly.
Well, hello.
Yeah.
Hello, Kath. No, I'd never met Catherine Zhu before.
Welcome to Catherine.
She's very, yes. She's very pretty young lady. Good for her.
Good for her.
But it was awkward just a little bit. It was. I thought, oh, that's not gonna. But to make that the headline, that's ridiculous. We can stop that now. That's not the headline. Wins the PGA Championship and embraces girlfriend awkwardly.
Apparently, he met young Catherine in college, and the glow up from Catherine's college pictures to now,
it's staggering,
substantial. Mm.
I saw the one. Yeah, it doesn't even. Yeah, yep. That's right, Del. You're
the one where she's.
Right.
The one where she's posing
by the water.
No, the one. Well, that. But if you look at her, like a picture in her cow days, like she's wearing a cow polo.
Well, she does look.
Why do you look so sad?
What she does
when you look at the cow polo?
What happened to her?
I don't even know. This doesn't even.
It's the glow. I call it a glow up. That's what I'm going to call it.
I guess it's.
You're not sure they're the same person, are you?
No, I'm honestly.
Well,
not.
Usually the transformation is the other
Catherine
way.
Catherine Zoo.
Apparently not.
Is that right?
It's spelled
well.
It's spelled the same.
It's the same. They're, she went to Cal, so she. That's the same girl, right? They met him. They met each other probably at school.
Yeah.
And,
what?
And
I don't get that. I don't understand it.
It's we call
without
it,
surgery.
See, we call it a glow up, John.
It's a glow up. I don't know what that means.
It means you were
you came up you
were you look you look one way at one point.
See? That doesn't look the same at all.
No, it doesn't look the same at all.
It is a glow up
at a minimum. I'm going through her Instagram to see if there are any pictures from her time at Cal.
I feel like this is a problematic segment.
No.
The entire segment has been problematic
to
me.
I'm all for glow up. Don't get me wrong, okay?
I'm just trying to figure out.
If this is what glow up does, I think glow up is a positive, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
No. It's 100%. Some clicked at some point. She's like, you know what? I'm going to start doing this, and this. I mean, that's just not the
same.
That's
not the same person.
Something happened where she's like, you know what?
Hold on.
I'm going to rebrand.
Apparently, Catherine Zoo is a very common name because there just happens to be another golfer at Cal named Catherine Zoo.
Then that's what it is.
That's exactly what it is. That wasn't the same person.
There's two Catherine Zoo golfers that...
At least, one who's at Cal now, and I guess one who was at Cal before.
Oh,
I guess I don't know if Morikawa's girlfriend went to Cal, but I know he did. John said, but so there are two Catherine Zoos who play golf in this country.
Oh,
one at Cal, one on the professional level.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
they're not the same person.
They are not.
I'm gonna go with this.
Oh, okay,
which one, John?
I'm gonna go
Wait a minute. This college. Catherine Zoo went to Pepperdine.
Okay, so they didn't go. They didn't meet each other at school.
Okay, there. I was about to say. This doesn't even,
Mary Smith? That Mary Smith?
I don't know what the zoo name originates from. Is it from what country?
I knew that wasn't the same person. No way.
Honest mistake.
She's from Vancouver, British Columbia.
She's a Canadian?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because something happened drastically.
I thought it was simply a glow up, but apparently two different people.
Well, here's the deal. I got one person that you need to go see, and that's Patrick Chastain over at Chastain Ford. That's my guy right over there. I mean, I'm telling you, I love what Patrick does, and he and the Chastain family. As a matter of fact, I think it was his cousin that I did the deal with. It really is a family atmosphere over at Chastain Ford. If you're looking for the best way to buy that Ford car or truck, and it's just stupid how great it is with 72 months interest-free, 84 months. When you're talking 7 full years that you're using their money for you to drive their car, your car, I mean, it's just incredible. So if you're looking to get out of the vehicle that you're in now, if you're looking to get into that new Ford car or truck, it is the best time that we've seen with nothing down, with no payments for 6 months. This is the perfect answer to your financial problem. You got to have a car in Houston. This is not New York. This is not any other place. This is Houston where you have to have a car. And get yourself a beautiful car, brand new car. And they got to get rid of these 2019 F-150s. And they're doing everything they possibly can. So go get there. ChastainFord.com. Or you can go to the dealership. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. Just 5 minutes from downtown. It's Chastain Ford.
Anyone can wear the mask.
Not all face masks offer the same protection. At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks because they have 3-layer nano silver protection in sizes for adults, teens, and kids. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off. Boomer Naturals, the official masks of ESPN Houston.